The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 16th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, brought spices so that they might go and anoint Jesus' body. And very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. They had been saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance to the tomb?" When they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had already been rolled back. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe, sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has been raised. He is not here. Look, there is the place where they laid him. But go and tell his disciples and Peter that he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you." So they went out and fled from the tomb, for terror and amazement had seized them. And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. The Gospel of the Lord.
Thanks be to you, Lord Christ.
So back to the empty tomb. In the Gospel of Mark, the women venture out to the empty tomb. after a weekend of uncertainty. But they know. They saw Jesus crucified. They also know it is their duty to prepare him properly for burial. Where are the men? They're hiding. I think I would have too. They were afraid. They'd been following Jesus. And they'd seen so many wonderful things. They saw him touch lepers. And not only did Jesus not contract leprosy, but he healed the lepers. They saw him spit on his hands, touch the blind, and the blind see. They saw him raise a little girl from the dead. They saw him raise Lazarus from the dead. And even though Jesus had tried to warn them, tried to predict to him what would happen, they did not see Friday night coming. Jesus was crucified. Sin and hate and anger and vengeance and fear crucified our Lord. But hallelujah, love wins. Love wins. You see, when the women got to the tomb, the man dressed in white said, "He is not here. He is risen." One of my former churches used to have a banner that they pulled out every Easter. Okay, this, "He is not here. He is risen." Now, this is only found in the Gospel of Mark. But when you put the banner up year after year after year for the whole Easter season, and the first banner on one side says, "He is not here," and the other side says, "He is risen," you start thinking he is not here. He's up there somewhere. And it kind of defeats the purpose of the message itself. Because the message to those women at the tomb is that the only place the risen Christ is not is the empty tomb. Ponder that for a moment. The only place where the risen Christ is not is the empty tomb. Jesus is not where sin buried him. Jesus is not boxed up anywhere. Jesus cannot be contained. Not by a tomb, not by death itself. The only place Jesus is not is the empty tomb. Hallelujah. Love wins. Those women that morning, they expected death. And the Gospel of Mark even ends with they fled in terror and amazement. Amazement. Did they understand the message? Probably not right away. But love is where Jesus finds you. Just where you are. And so where Jesus was discovered throughout the Gospels after the resurrection, the Gospel of John says Jesus was discovered at the empty tomb by dear, doubting Thomas. When Jesus appeared to him with his wounds intact, and Jesus said, "Go ahead and touch them. My peace I give to you, not as the world gives, but as I give you." Jesus was made known in the Gospel of Luke. On the road to Emmaus, where people, the disciples, were walking along on the dusty road, sad beyond comprehension, because they saw Jesus die. And people were spreading rumors that he was alive, but they saw him die. "Don't mess with my head," they said. "I saw him die." And Jesus was made known to him as he interpreted all of Scripture to them. And then as he blessed bread and broke it and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened. The risen Christ was with them all along. They just couldn't see it. And that's true for us as well. Jesus finds us everywhere. There's a story by an Episcopal priest who is principal of a school. And they have chapel time with the children. And they have their kind of order of how they want to do things in the chapel with the kids. He gets so excited when all these kids are there. And one part of their time together in the chapel, he says, "My friends Nancy and Susan started the lesson, we sang and we danced, and then we quieted ourselves and went into our still, small place in our hearts where we could listen for God. Then halfway through our quiet minute, this one kid motioned to me in a way that said, 'Can you come here?' But not make a big deal about it. So I went over to Ryan, but I didn't make a big deal about it. I just casually sat down next to him and kept facing forward so he could take his time telling me whatever he needed to tell me. And finally, he tapped me on the shoulder, and I leaned down close. He looked around the big sanctuary and he said, 'Excuse me, is God coming?' Then Ryan looked around again like he was expecting God to show up here like Ronald shows up occasionally at McDonald's, and I just started staring at this little man who had just asked me the question that every single human being who has ever looked around a fancy sanctuary or a busted up family or a hurting friendship or a shocking diagnosis or a mess in the world is thinking. 'Excuse me, is God coming?' I swallowed hard and I said, 'Ryan, that is the best question I've ever heard. Just the best one. Listen, I won't, if you don't want me to, but I gotta tell you, I think your class needs to hear your brilliant question. May I share it?' My big-eyed friend eyes got even bigger. He tried to contain a proud little smile and he nodded to me. I stood up and I said, 'Miss Nancy, I'm so sorry to interrupt you, but this person has just asked the most honest, beautiful, important question I have ever heard anyone ask in my whole life.' He looked around the room and he said, 'Is God coming?' And it got really quiet. And I looked at my friend and tried to respond. I babbled. Really, I said, 'I don't have an answer. No one does, really, but here's my hunch. I think God is already here. I don't think we wait for God to come as much as we bring God to each other. I think God is inside me and you, Ryan. It's like, you know how cookies have sugar in them and that's what makes them delicious? We have God in us. And that's what makes us delicious. I think God sent us here to be here for each other because God's inside of us. So God knows that if we show up, God's here too. God sends us to each other because we are all God's family, and sometimes family members send each other. not by pain, not by death itself. And that is why we are here on this Easter Sunday morning as Christians. We sing the good news to each other. Because there might be somebody sitting next to you who is still wondering, is God going to show up? Is God coming here? And in our song, and in our action, in our words, we can say with confidence, of course, he's already here. Because Jesus is everywhere but the empty tomb. Now in the Lutheran tradition, we have a phrase called the means of grace. And it's kind of like saying the vehicle of grace. We know God's grace is everywhere, but we know that we are promised in a couple special ways. We're promised by Jesus that God's grace comes through these things, these means of grace. And what we say the means of grace are our word and sacrament. God's grace is everywhere all the time, but we know and we are promised, and two things we hold dear, is that God comes to us in word and sacrament. And most of the time we don't understand how, okay? I've had 4 years of college and religious training, another 4 years of seminary, 6 years of seminary. I can't tell you exactly how it happens. I just know it's a promise. And I know God is always good on God's promises. Well, we have some young people here today who will be receiving communion for the very first time. As part of the body of Christ, they will be receiving that gift, that grace, for the first time. It's not to say they haven't received grace before. They've received grace. Grace is all around them. Grace is in your love for them, and their parents and their grandparents' love for them. But we promise them that God is coming in the word and the sacrament. So when you see one of the kids with a little white flower on, give them a high five. Remind them, God is here. God is always here. And God is always coming. Jesus finds us in the weirdest places. Jesus finds us at the empty tomb, when we're expecting nothing but death. He surprises us with grace. Jesus finds us when we're mourning, and when our grief is tangible. Jesus finds us in our brokenness, in our weariness. It reminds us. We don't save. Jesus saves. And his presence is with us. His risen presence is with us. The risen Christ is everywhere but the empty tomb. Everywhere but the boxes we try to put him into. Everywhere but the finite things we think God is and isn't. Jesus is bigger than all of that. Friday night. Sin, hate, anger, vengefulness, fear, all of these things crucified our Lord. But love. Love wins.